Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, a 4-3 overtime win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Boston Bruins. And Todd, we mentioned it, just great fashion, how to start the post-All-Star break, the walk to the subway, which we do right after the Leaf game. That's always our term for heading out. And tonight would have had a whack of them talking about a result that a game they were in when it was 1-1, then two quick goals in a short period of time early in the third period. And all of a sudden, you think that's all she wrote. And to their credit, it not only did it not end ugly, it ended with an unexpected win.
Yeah, no, it was a very type of start that you think would come after an All-Star break where you're kind of feeling each other out again. Everyone's getting their legs going again. And, you know, come behind by one goal after the first period, not bad. Second period, they come back. They tie it up going into the third with a 1-1 tie. They'll take it. And probably the only real letdown in this period was the first of this game was the first minute of the third period where Boston scored two goals 26 seconds apart to make it 3-1. And that's, you know, obviously that was a big blemish on the game. But the fact that they were able to come back, battle back, and tie the game up and then, you know, then eventually get it into overtime and win their first game of the season in overtime. That's a huge win coming off the All-Star break and something that this Toronto Maple Leaf team will definitely like to build off of as they move forward.
Well, we shall see what gives with the Toronto Maple Leaf team. They'll be back home against the New Jersey Devils. But after a win and wasn't expecting it, but Mike Babcock, kind of all business as he chats after the 4-3 Toronto Maple Leaf victory.
Well, I thought we did lots of good things. I mean, obviously took a penalty early. Didn't like that, but I mean, that's the way it goes. And then I thought we battled and played real well, and then suddenly came out and we gave up those two goals right back to back on just simple little plays on the wall. And so it was good to see our guys respond. I thought Kadri's line was excellent. You know, and we had some guys missing tonight, and yet found a way to get it done, so that was good.
Mike, it's the first win for the team in overtime, first win against a divisional opponent. You end the long power play drought. Is this a cathartic win? Is this a victory that can maybe be a pivot point for the team?
Yeah, I never thought about all those things that you're talking about, but you know, we played today, and it's nice to win when you play.
Your offense generated, I guess, from your blue line here tonight. When they're going, good things seem to happen.
Well, I thought so. I mean, you know, PA hasn't had a goal in forever. You know, wasn't great tonight, but found a way to score a goal. It was positive for us. I thought Winnick and Matthias had a real strong game for us. Those two guys are big guys skating around, doing a good job. Kadri's line obviously was dominant. And then, you know, we got some guys in the back end that can skate and they can really help from the back end.
Is Kadri's influence physically, obviously the hit on Marchand, just as important as what he brings offensively?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, he's a real good player. He's good with and without the puck and, you know, can transport the puck, and we trust him. So he's playing against a good line tonight and played well.
Well, there he is, Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. How about, that's quite a loud phone in the background there. That's like an old style. That's like when it rings at home or your hotel room or something. Or
producer Matt Brown thought that was Eddie O. He was trying to get some information.
He's trying to get him. Yeah, but what? Is it got a shoe phone or something like that?
That was old school. That's like on your phones right now. You can go to the classic tones or this crazy new age. That was definitely a classic tone ring.
Well, classic goaltending performance once again by the one and only James Reimer. Another strong effort in the Toronto Maple Leaf goal. Here he is talking about his first game back. And this is the team that, you know, this is the team that the game seven and Reimer.
We're always going to go back to that.
Well, I know,
but
Reimer was one of the guys singled out.
Yep.
Right? It was about getting Jonathan Bernier, getting David Clarkson, getting David Bolin, just getting those elements that would make a difference in the final period of that game. Well, he made a difference tonight. The Leafs were down 3-1 in the third period of play and came back, tied it, won it in overtime. And a big reason was the play of James Reimer. Here he is after tonight's 4-3 win.
That was my game plan going to the third. It was a lot of two quick ones in for me. Got the boys going, so. No, I mean, yeah, that's, you know, obviously, I'll probably start the third, but we went to, we got a couple quick ones, but, you know, yeah, defiance, resiliency, character, you name it. We were playing a great game, and sometimes pucks go in when you're playing well, and you just keep fighting, so. Kudos to the boys. They worked hard and battled to get back in the game and a big power play here at the end.
For you and the team specifically, when you have a little stretch there where things don't go well, how hard is it to just keep on track and not kind of get too down on yourself in the situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you play well and you know you're playing with structure and you're doing things the way you're supposed to be doing them, eventually you're going to get things going well. You know, there's going to be ups and downs in season, but if you play the right way, you know, hopefully more times than not, you end up on the winning side. So, you know, I've lost a couple games here. We won a couple, tied a couple, and so, you know, the last five or six look really good for us.
Can this club build on a momentum builder like we've seen here tonight and go there one game at a time?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've been building. You know, obviously, you know, score some goals tonight was huge. I mean, you know, I think a lot of guys haven't had too much puck luck, and so to get a couple deflections and pucks to that to find their way in, I mean, it's a good feeling, and keep going.
James Reimer, after tonight's big win, Toronto Maple Leaf goaltender Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And mention that like he is the guy right now. He is the goaltender du jour, number one goaltender, that's for sure, huh?
Never too high, never too low. Anytime that you listen to James Reimer speak, it's just, you don't know if he won or lost. He's the same demeanor every single time. And, you know, he's got, it throws his humor in there, you know, just the way he wrote up the whole game plan, letting in two quick goals in the third period, trying to get those guys motivated. I mean, he's just been a sound player for these guys, a good, you know, I don't know if you'd say the perfect goaltender for this type of situation of a season, but, you know, he's doing a lot of things right now, and you love to see a game like that from your goaltender and to respond and end up winning the game ultimately.
Well, Rob Longley, covering the Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League for the Toronto Sun, joining us. And, Rob, I wouldn't say just what the doctor ordered, maybe a bit of a stretch that way, but for a Maple Leaf team trying to get one of two different messages, if the 3-1 game had become a 5-1 or 6-1, it would be some disconcerting given what happened last year and the way they've gone of late. This was a great time to come up with your first win against a divisional rival, first overtime win, and first time coming back from 2-goal deficit in the third period.
Yeah, Gordon, it was that in a lot of ways. I mean, really, you know, 81 seconds into the third period when Boston got that that 2-goal lead, 26 goals, 26 seconds apart, it was like, which way is this thing going to go? And I totally agree with you. If it ends 5-1, then, you know, how do they pick it back up for a game Thursday in New Jersey? And I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, what we're going to see from this team the rest of the way. Are they going to mail it in at all? I don't think so under Babcock, but who's going to be playing for this team the last 20 games of the season? And, you know, Babcock made it clear both yesterday and this morning that, you know, there's guys that are going to be fighting for jobs. In other words, this team is going to promote some guys from the Marlies for a few games. So if you want to stay in the lineup and continue to sell yourself and maybe have an opportunity for next season, you better perform and you better play hard. And a lot of the guys did that tonight. There were some that were sort of didn't have good nights, but, you know, coming back from that 2-goal deficit was huge. And the fact that they never quit was also huge.
Rob, what about the play of Nazem Kadri? You know what I mean? He was all over the scoreboard, played the physical game tonight. I mean, this is the type of Nazem Kadri they want to see play on a consistent basis, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, how many nights has Babcock talked about what he wants from Kadri all season? He wants him to be a leader. He wants him to be a physical presence. He wants him to be responsible in both ends of the ice. And he was that tonight. I mean, he led everybody with six shots on net. It was, you know, a great deflection goal that tied it. And, you know, he was going up against a pretty good first line with the Bruins, and he more than held his own. And, you know, I think in some ways, even though it didn't result in a response immediately, that big hit that he had on Brad Marchand in the second period was a bit of a statement, because, you know, it's like Kadri's not going to be intimidated by anybody. And he went out there and hit a guy pretty hard that has done some damage to this team this season. And you could sort of sense that the players felt it on the bench. And Babcock had nothing but praise for Kadri and his line after the game. He really thought that he was, you know, borderline dominant in that game. And in some ways he was.
Yeah. You know, it's again, it's funny. It's I always go back to that series against the Boston Bruins in a lot of ways, even though the Bruins aren't the same team, as a bit of a litmus test. And you remember guys like Kadri and guys like James Reimer. We kind of lost perspective because of what happened in game number 7. But in a lot of ways, this brought the best out of those guys, and we saw it again tonight. I know it was just one game as far as the body of work goes.
Yeah, you know, Gord, I think Reimer, I'm pretty sure this is his first career victory in the Boston Garden. And, you know, it wasn't an easy night for him. He had 42 shots, and I thought, you know, the Bruins were coming at him pretty hard in the first period. And that power play of the Boston has is pretty formidable. They move the puck around really well. you know, everybody will remember that game seven when James Reimer really wilted, and, you know, was many wondered how he would rebound from that. And he certainly had some struggles since. It's been a difficult building for him to play in, but I thought he showed himself very well tonight, because I don't think he had a ton of support in front of him from his defense, and he really held the Leafs in the game, even though, you know, those two quick goals, he'd like to have at least one of those back in the third period, but he didn't let the fourth one get in, and the fourth one would have been lethal. And in the past, that might have been the kind of goal that would have got by James Reimer or would have got by this team. And, you know, he was as much a part of the comeback as anybody else, I thought.
Rob, we always like talking about the top guys, you know, the top six forwards, but every team needs foot soldiers. And one of the foot soldiers who hasn't been here all year is Rich Klune. But his play over the last little while has you know, it seems like he's earned himself a spot permanently on this roster right now. And I mean, we're only talking about a guy that's playing 8 minutes, 9 minutes a game right now. But in your opinion, is Rich Klune doing everything that's been asked of him? And if so, do you think this is the type of player that can remain here the rest of the year?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, if he continues to do it the way that he's been doing it. And yeah, he was 8 minutes again tonight, which has been typical for him. I think in his first few games with the Leafs, he might have been trying to do too much. He was running around a little bit like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to hit anything that moved. And while that can be a good thing, it can also be a bad thing if you put yourself out of position and leave your line mates vulnerable. I think now he's still bringing that physical no-nonsense presence, but he's not running around as much. He's staying, you know, he's keeping it responsible. And he's working hard. And that's, you know, yeah, those are the kind of guys that that impress Mike Babcock a lot. And if he continues to do that, I mean, what kind of a role is he going to play for the team going forward? Well, you know, not a huge one. But as you said, you know, you do need fourth-line wingers. You do need foot soldiers, guys that will go in there and keep the opposition honest. And he does a pretty good job of doing that. And I think, you know, I think he really senses that this may be his last opportunity to prove himself as an NHLer. And he's taking it very seriously and recognizes that if it's not with the Leafs, if he continues to play this way, that he might get an opportunity either at the trade deadline or again next summer.
What do you think the Leafs are going to do trade-wise? I mean, is it just going to be expiring contracts? Do you see all of, I mean, there's Pollock, there's Mathias, there's Parenteau. I mean, both the four or five, is that going to be the extent of it?
Well, I think the focus will be on those guys because those are easier commodities to move, and it doesn't really matter what you get in return. Obviously, Lou Lamoriello is going to try to get the most value from those kinds of players, but, I mean, if you don't get anything from them, it's nothing ventured, nothing gained. But the way we've seen Brendan Shanahan and Lou Lamoriello operate in their respective management careers, I know it's early for Brendan Shanahan, it wouldn't shock me if there was some sort of a surprise at the deadline. And by that I mean a player that you might not have expected to be moved gets moved, because they keep their plans pretty close to their vest, and we're certainly not going to be tipped off to it until it happens. But it wouldn't shock me if they could get what they feel is to be some value with a player that we might not think would be moved, like maybe a Jake Gardner or maybe a Tyler Bozak. Something like that wouldn't shock me in the slightest.
Rob, I always bring it up because I just think that this guy's been probably their most consistent defenseman all year. But a guy like Matt Hunwick that didn't really cost, well, it didn't cost him anything to bring him in here. He plays 25 minutes tonight. He's been money the whole year long. I know he's got a very, very nice cap-friendly contract for what he's been doing. But this guy, to me, would garner a ton of interest out there. And would the Leafs ever decide parting with a guy like this? And I guess the answer is probably yes, if the price is right and if it's what the Leafs are looking for.
Yeah, he's a very interesting case, Todd, because Babcock loves him, right? I mean,
yep.
Babcock was the guy who wanted to sign him, and Babcock was the guy who gave him first pairing minutes and has continued to do so all season. And Babcock's the guy who gave him almost 26 minutes of ice time tonight. So he's the kind of guy that Babcock would like to have around. But if you look at his age and if you look at what you might get in return for him, you know, he may not have the final say in this. You know, if they believe that they're going to be able to develop some other young defensemen from elsewhere, and if Gardner and Riley are going to be a part of that future, maybe he is expendable. But I think it all will come down to what it would have to be an attractive deal for them to move Matt Hunwick in terms of, you know, getting probably a little bit more value than they would have expected at the beginning of the season, because it's quite apparent that Mike Babcock values what he can contribute to this hockey team.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I was saying there were so many bad contracts at one point that looked maybe unmovable. They figured something out with David Clarkson. Phil Kessel was never unmovable, but, you know, had to be some, you know, money had to be eaten, given back the other way for it. I just look, Joffrey Leupold's the one that sticks out now like the big chalupa out there or something. Everything else you can rationalize, it may be too, a little too long in term or a little too rich. His is the only millstone right now.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and if they were able to move him, and I don't know who would want him, how much contract would they have to take back to make it happen? And, you know, I know three of us have discussed him in the past. It actually really surprises me that he's having the type of season that he did, because, you know, I thought, you know, talking to him and looking at him at training camp, he came in probably in the best shape of his career. He changed his off-season workout regimen. He was working with a guy who trains NFL players out in California. He was feeling confident, and he seemed to like the changes that Babcock was making in the system. And he was a buy-in from day one. But, you know, after maybe a good 10 or 15 games to start the season, he's been nowhere. And you could see it even tonight. You know, the puck doesn't bounce his way. He doesn't seem to, he zigs when he should be zagging. And just, you know, I don't know if it's something he does or if it's just nothing can seem to go right for him. And it's, he'd be hard to move in any capacity, I would think, because of that contract and because of he's so prone to being injured and because of his age. It's just, it's, you know, he's a guy who could have been an asset if he would have been on pace for a 30-goal season, but he's obviously nowhere near that.
Hey, Rob, thanks very much for your time. Always appreciate it.
My pleasure, Gordon. Todd, have a good night.
You too.
Bye, buddy.
Rob Longley covering the Toronto Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League for the Toronto Sun. And as mentioned, it is, just a wonderful night. A win in Boston, which are few and far between. First time Leafs come back from a 2-goal deficit to win a game. First time they win in overtime. First time they defeat a divisional rival. A big game for Nazem Kadri. And a new logo getting unveiled after the game as well. A new old kind of logo. We just looked at it before. It's almost, in some ways, it's always easier to the eyes than sweaters. I find radical sweater changes can be the ones that kind of throw you off. But still, the logo is what makes it special. The logo to me is the inherent history of a sports franchise, and they have a great one in Toronto, and I do like the little tweak they've done.
Sure, and it's not a big enough change to rattle people's cages and say, "Oh my God, I can't believe they did that." They've made it look a little bit more traditional. And I think everyone's going to like it. I mean, again, it's not a radical change, but will people go out and buy the jersey because of the way it looks? I think so, because it's a sharp looking logo. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if they buy, I guess they do buy more and more. I don't know what, maybe. I don't know how many more you buy because there's a new logo. I mean, I just think
you have people, your diehards that are out there every single day.
Yeah, that's true. They got it all figured out.
They do.
They got it more just like, you know, we try to figure out game in game out. We'll be down there on Thursday. Air Canada Center, so Lou Lamoriello's old team, the New Jersey Devils, in town taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Pretty nice way to start things off. Nice to have had a positive All-Star game experience out there. And also nice to see, in a way, Sidney Crosby back on track, gets a hot trick tonight. And Connor McDavid gets a goal his first game back with the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Everything's happening. And I mean, the Connor McDavid's going to be fun because I think every time that Edmonton plays now, it's probably going to be on TV. He's must-watch TV. This kid's unbelievable. It's good to be over the All-Star break, and now this is where the heavy lifting starts. Teams are jockeying them spot their place for playoff spots, and you're going to see some real fast, quick, exciting hockey from here on in.
Well, and just the only thing about Connor McDavid start reminds me again, we didn't get him in Toronto, but anyway, that's it. For 37 games, we could kind of put it on a back burner, and you kind of forgot about it. Now, you remember. Wouldn't it be nice? Well, nice tonight, a 4-3 overtime victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Boston Bruins. Down 3-1 early in the third period. They come back, tie it, then win in OT. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.